Welcome to episode 1095 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Revelation 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. From the first city built by Cain to the final city descending from heaven, Scripture tells the tale of two cities, those built by human hands and the one prepared by God. The antediluvian world, with its growing urban centers and technological achievements, stands in stark contrast to the promised New Jerusalem. This contrast offers profound insights into where we place our hope and how we live as believers in an increasingly urbanized world. The pre-flood world demonstrated remarkable achievements. Genesis hints at sophisticated urban development through Cain's descendants. Lamech's children became innovators in animal husbandry, music, and metallurgy. Yet alongside this progress came profound moral decay. These cities, impressive as they were, ultimately fell under divine judgment. What went wrong? These early urban centers exemplified human ingenuity and ambition, but they were built on foundations of pride and self-sufficiency. Like their successor Babel, they represented humanity's attempt to reach heaven through their own efforts. Their technological progress masked spiritual regression, a pattern that continues to tempt us today. The destruction of these antediluvian cities offers several sobering lessons. Material progress doesn't equal spiritual health. Cultural achievements can't prevent divine judgment. Human innovations, apart from God, often serve sinful purposes. Technological advancement without moral development leads to catastrophe. These cities perished not because urban development is inherently wrong, but because they embodied humanity's attempt to find security and significance apart from God. Their fate reminds us that no human achievement, however impressive, can withstand divine judgment when it's built on prideful independence from God. In contrast to human-built cities, Scripture points us to a city whose architect and builder is God. The New Jerusalem represents everything the antediluvian cities sought but couldn't achieve. Perfect security without walls of pride, true community without social stratification, lasting significance without human boasting, divine presence without human-made temples, eternal peace without enforced order. This city doesn't represent human achievement, but divine grace. It doesn't ascend from earth to heaven through human effort, but descends from heaven to earth as God's gift. Its perfection lies not in human innovation, but in divine design. Revelation's description of the New Jerusalem reveals striking contrasts with human cities. Its light comes from God's glory, not human technology. Its security comes from God's presence, not human fortifications. Its prosperity comes from divine provision, not human commerce. Its worship centers on God alone, not human achievements. Its community reflects perfect unity, not human division. These characteristics challenge our modern urban values and priorities. They remind us that true security, community, and significance come from God, not human effort. How do we live as citizens of God's city while residing in human cities? Several principles emerge. Maintain eternal perspective. We recognize the temporary nature of human achievements while appreciating their relative value. This keeps us from either worship or rejection of human culture. Engage redemptively. Like Daniel in Babylon, we can serve human cities while maintaining ultimate allegiance to God's kingdom. We seek their welfare without adopting their values. Build on God's foundation. In our work and relationships, we build on Christ rather than human wisdom. This means prioritizing eternal values over temporary gains. Foster true community. We create spaces that reflect the coming city's values: inclusion, justice, worship, and divine presence. Practice heavenly citizenship. Our primary identity comes from our heavenly citizenship, influencing how we engage with earthly institutions and culture. This heavenly perspective transforms how we ought to live in earthly cities. In our work, pursue excellence without making success an idol. Create culture that points to God's greater city. Use technology and innovation in service to others. Build businesses and institutions that reflect divine values. In our relationships, form communities that transcend social barriers. Practice reconciliation that anticipates perfect unity. Share resources in ways that reflect heavenly abundance. Welcome strangers as future citizens of God's city. In fact, in God's kingdom, there are no strangers. There are just friends whom we may not have yet met or come to know. Everyone ought to be treated as a neighbor, as a friend. In our worship, gather in ways that preview heavenly worship. Create art that reflects divine beauty. Build spaces that facilitate God's presence. Celebrate diversity as a foretaste of heavenly unity. God in his creativity did not make us all the same, and there is a richness in our differences that he wants us to explore and experience. We live in the tension between these two cities. Our earthly cities, like their antediluvian predecessors, showcase both human achievement and human sin. They offer opportunities for culture making and community building while tempting us toward pride and self-sufficiency. As citizens of heaven, we're called to a unique posture, appreciating human achievement without idolizing it, contributing to city flourishing while maintaining critical distance, building for today while living for eternity, creating culture while resisting its corrupting influences.
Last night, as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. My dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. And the sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill. As a shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill, as a shadow
examine one area where you might be overly invested in earthly success or achievement. How can you reorient this aspect of your life toward eternal values? Choose one practical step to align your priorities more closely with your heavenly citizenship. Consider how your career goals reflect eternal values, where your resources are truly invested, whether your community reflects heaven's inclusion, how your daily choices demonstrate citizenship priorities. Philippians 3 verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The contrast between human-built cities and the New Jerusalem reminds us that our ultimate security, significance, and belonging come from God, not human achievement. While we live and work in earthly cities, we must keep our eyes fixed on the eternal city that God is preparing for us. By aligning our values with the coming kingdom, we live as faithful citizens of heaven, even while we engage with the world around us. Father, thank you for preparing a city that surpasses all human achievements. Help us live as citizens of heaven while serving faithfully in earthly cities. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.